All right, before we start a new hour, D. Wood, Alan Hahn, you guys are Islander fans, right? How about a little eye candy? How about Jake Oettinger with a stick save and a beauty? How about this?
How nonchalant is this, by the way? Look at him. He's just like, oh, let me just put it out here.
Wow.
Real casual.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
How casual he was with this. You make a save like this, you got to celebrate. You got to do something. He just acts like, no big deal. Let me just tap this.
Yeah. On we go to the postseason. You guys will be there all excited. We are jam-packed this morning. Speaking of excited, look at this. I got basketball acumen for days.
You don't even have a secret.
I got football on this. Yes, they've taken my Tim.
Wait, this is a tug of war, is it?
No, no.
Okay, good.
I think have we got a grade on the first hour yet?
If we did, like some sort of a decathlon, it would be fascinating. They would win the tug of war. You guys would win the three-point contest.
There you go.
We'll see what anyway, with that, we are live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, jam-packed all morning long, no time to waste. Let's go! Sixers and Heat last night in Philadelphia for the right to take on the Knicks in round one of the playoffs. And it wasn't an artistic masterpiece, but it was a heck of an entertaining game. Now, let's pick it up with a really bad moment. Late first quarter, you see the Heat have a two-point lead. We see the bucket on one end. Now, the long pass. Legs, can we see what happens to Jimmy Butler here?
Very difficult to see that. You got the head fake, obviously gets somebody up in the air. It just looks like the body weight of the defender comes right down on the top of his knee.
Yeah.
And when he grabbed it and his reaction initially and the scream that he let out, I'm thinking there's no way he's finishing this game.
He stayed in. He shot the foul shots. He played all night, but he clearly was hampered by the injury. Meanwhile, Joel Embiid got off to a very slow start, but he's knocking down a big three in the fourth quarter. We're 7 minutes left. It's a four-point game. Here's Butler. He would score 19. You'll see the pain on his face. Now to the fourth, and back and forth they go. Nicholas Batum was magnificent.
That's an understatement. And by the way, that's one of the best follow-ups I've seen in a long time. Underneath the rim, flips it back over his head.
He had 20 off the bench. 3 minutes to go. Sixers down one. Not for long. Embiid with the three. Sixers up by two. Ensuing Miami possession, Tyler Hero.
He was sensational. Honestly, his offense kept them in the game when they needed it in the fourth quarter.
Heat take a one-point lead. Back the other way we go. Embiid plus one. It's a Sixers two-point lead. A minute to go. We're tied at 96. This one got very entertaining down the stretch, and it's Oubre.
Biggest play of the game. High-low action against the zone. Oubre with the perfectly timed duck in. Great delivery by Embiid.
And then the defense by Batum with under 30 seconds to go. Look at the great block on Tyler Hero's attempt to tie it. In the end, the Sixers hold on 105-104. A lot of questions about Jimmy Butler. We'll get to that. Embiid at 23 points. 15 rebounds. Again, Batum with the 20 off the bench. Sixers able to pull out a win. Embiid started slow, inefficient, with 12 points in the first three quarters. In the fourth, he had 11 points. He played 38 minutes, his most since returning from injury. So now, up next are the Knicks. Here's Nick Nurse.
I think they're for real. I think they're really good. I think they're fast. I think they can shoot. I think they hit the glass. I think they guard you. I think they've earned that seed. They've played really well and beaten a lot of good teams. So we'll have our work to do here in the next couple days to get ready for them.
They will play Saturday, Monday are the first two games of that series in New York. So Monica McNutt, if you are the Knicks and you were scouting that game last night, what specifically do you come away thinking about Joel Embiid?
He's not whole. He's not whole, and we have the size that can slow him, contend him, and we need to take advantage of opportunities to run in transition in terms of the fast break if you're the Knicks, which is something that when that second unit comes in, Josh Hart, Deuce McBride, they are able to do that. But if you're the Knicks, in my mind, you're feeling confident. Jalen Brunson has had a tremendous season. You have OG Anunoby in this matchup, both the defensive versatility that he brings and the shot-making ability. Isaiah Hartenstein has grown exponentially over the course of this season. I think you're feeling good.
Talk to me about Embiid. What did you see last night, Alan?
He's on one leg. You could see it. I mean, when he came back from this injury, he was moving really well all the way up until Friday's game. Then Friday's game, remember, he tweaked it left. Mm-hmm. He did come back, and that was promising. But from Friday to last night, that knee must have swollen up. Something must have happened because he looked completely different. He was practically a statue. They gave one to AI earlier this season. He was a statue himself in this game. Even Nick Nurse was talking through Lisa Salters to him, saying, we're going to need him on the defensive end. He's got to have a presence there. He had no presence defensively whatsoever. The Knicks have got to look at this and feel like we've got to play a higher pace. They play the slowest pace in the league. They can't do that because that plays into exactly what Embiid wants to do. He is going to jog, and he is not going to be a factor defensively. This is a series. If you're the Knicks, This is not a can you win it. This is you must win this series. Mm. They have to. If he is as what he looks like right now on one leg, you have to win this series.
Well, we see the word statue is on your screen. Legler, earlier this morning, you said you want to build one.
That's right. Nicholas Batum. I'm going to petition the city officials in Philadelphia. Honestly, listen, Nicholas Batum bailed them out last night. He bailed them out. Embiid was great production-wise in the fourth quarter. He got some timely contributions from some other guys. Batum puts them in position to even be in that game. He was the one guy that looked calm, cool, and collected. He wasn't rattled by the environment. He wasn't rattled by the deficit. He made three after three to cut into the deficit, then to give them the lead, and then defensively made the big play at the end. They're not in position to win this game without Batum. So what does that mean? That means ultimately now you'd have to go play a game against Chicago. With the way Embiid looks, maybe you win that game. I would assume you do, but then you're playing the Celtics. You're probably getting swept the way Embiid looks. This at least gives them an opportunity to play another team that does have some physical limitations because they're not at full strength in the Knicks. But I agree with you, man. Right now, how could you not think the Knicks are going to win this series the way Embiid looks?
Well, that's the key here, because you have been telling me for the last week and a half or so, and I've been agreeing the Sixers are going to be super dangerous. Wendy said yesterday on this show, they're not a 7 seed. They are that in name only. They, with Embiid like this, they do look it.
Pre-injury, he was the MVP of the league. Post-injury, he was 90% of that. What I saw last night was 60% of that. So, now, they have another star, so can Maxi make up for that, Monica?
I will say that 60% of Joel Embiid, while it is not MVP Joel Embiid, it is still something you have to contend with. And so just for the sake of the matchup in terms of the balance, Jalen Brunson has had to carry so much for the Knicks. He's done a terrific job of it. There is not a ton of wiggle room in terms of them being productive, right? If they don't capitalize a fast break to Alan Hahn's point, then I do think you give the Sixers chance, this team a chance to get into a tight ball game, and you saw they weren't afraid of the moment last night. I think to me, I go a little bit to playoff history in terms of what has typically happened in Philadelphia in terms of missing moments. So I'm curious to see what happens.
I'll tell you what, if last night's game is any indication, a series could look just like that because the Knicks
physical,
play the same way
slow,
the Heat.
Ugly, physical,
play slow. What you saw last night, you might get, that could be 7 games of that. And if you're the Knicks, it can't be that. It really can't. They have to play fast. They have to get out in transition. They've got to turn a lot of turnovers that Philly was very bad with the basketball in the first half. Turn those into points, which they're very good at, and make it a quick series.
The other thing that concerned me last night at the start of the game, and this is what I wasn't sure about even Embiid, was it the leg or was something else? That was an incredibly tight team at the start of that game. And I've seen that. I've been in so many playoff games in that building. There's a thickness in the air. The anxiety is almost transferred onto the court from the people sitting there. And you see these performances.
You mean the boos at halftime?
Yeah, they got
off the court.
Before that, I thought Oubre was tight early. I thought Buddy Hield looked tight early. I thought Maxey looked tight, although eventually I think got it together. Embiid looked different. Tobias Harris really struggled, and he does a lot at home in the postseason. They played better in the second half. It's almost like Batum kind of released that pressure.
What is it, the chicken?
Maybe the chicken.
It had to be the chicken.
Blue collar city, prices are spiking. Everybody wants free food. Listen.
That became a big part of it yesterday. The other story, however, last night, so unfortunate. Jimmy Butler, we all know playoff Jimmy. We know how good he – and he was very active last night early, and then – the team fears he sustained a possible MCL injury on that play we saw. He will have an MRI today. You see, this is how he looked leaving the building. This is what he said about the injury.
I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but I mean, I hope that I'm fine. I hope I wake up tomorrow and I can still stick and move. But, right now I can't say that that's the case. I mean, I fell and he landed and my knee just didn't do well, I guess. I don't know. But it's not a good feeling, I can tell you that.
That sounds bad, right? Man. I mean, that's bad.
And he's not a guy that whines.
He doesn't do that, right?
And that's before you even deal with, what this is going to feel like the next morning, the stiffness and the swelling and everything he's going to be dealing with.
They left him out there, I guess, figuring we get a win here. We get our way into the 7, a best of 7. We get him some rest. Now they have no time to rest. They turn it around. They play tomorrow night against the Bulls. We'll show you that highlight from last night in a moment. Maybe they can win that game without Jimmy Butler, but then they go up and play Boston. I mean, this feels like a very quick exit for a Heat team that we've seen make some deep runs.
I think Miami's season's over. I do, and I think their opportunity to extend it was exactly what you said. If they could have pulled this game out, and we're tied under a minute to go, so they had a great chance to do it. He stayed out there as the warrior that he is to try to get them over that hump and maybe get a couple of days rest. But this Bulls team is playing great basketball down the stretch. I don't see Miami beating them if Jimmy Butler can't play in the
game. So the Caruso injury is a little something to watch with the Bulls, but I'm inclined to agree with you. Jimmy Butler is just the engine for that team.
And look, that's not a team that's thinking about getting into the first round. Right? It's a team that was in the NBA Finals a year ago. They were in a conference final the year before that. They're about taking care of business, and unfortunately, if Butler is injured, it seems almost impossible to imagine them doing it. I told you it's the Bulls who got there last night, playing at home against the Hawks. This was the 9-10 game. This was the Kobe White game. He was spectacular last night. We'll show you that in a minute, but let's just show you one spectacular dunk. How about the play from DeJounte Murray right here?
Two-footed jumper. Ooh. Oh, Vucevic turned around, and look what you found.
Goodness gracious.
He's up in the toy department, 10th floor.
Watch
his elevator went to a different floor. Vucevic.
Meanwhile, Kobe White was playing on a different floor
spin
as well.
Cycle.
I just thought Kyrie Irving in the moment when I watched this. That's Kyrie Irving, right? Creative, improv, two defenders, splits him. What a night for him. What a season for Kobe White.
42 points, a career high for Kobe White last night. And then here he will find his breaking teammate, Javonte Green, on a nice play. Bulls win it 131-116. So they will play Miami coming up again. More from this. Here's Kobe White again knocking down the three.
Like, they are balling, I'm telling
they
you.
Really are.
Monica and I saw them three times down the stretch because they played the Knicks a lot, so we called all those games. They are playing. Billy Donovan has them playing great, not just offensively. Their defense has taken another step.
Well, maybe they knock out Miami tomorrow night and they move on to play Boston. We will see. This game could be more of the same of what we saw these teams doing the regular season, splitting the season series 2-2. You see they averaged very similar numbers of points. They haven't played since December 16th, which feels like a long time ago. And obviously the Jimmy Butler factor here looms awfully large. As we continue, back to the football, back to the draft. We are T-minus 1 week and counting, people. And it is all about the quarterbacks. Could Tim Legler's Commanders flip the script? At number two, we're going in search of answers after what they did yesterday, plus LeBron and the Lakers survive in advance. Can the King conquer Mount Jokic in round one? We're talking about it next. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. We are 1 week away from the NFL draft, so it's time for our favorite feature. EJ, have you seen that picture before?
EJ, look how they treat me here.
Kmart, would you be shocked if the Patriots trade out of the top 5?
Greeny, I would be shocked, but not really kind of shocked. Because listen, here's the thing. They need a quarterback. But if you're the head coach, Gerard Mayo, you're looking around your team and saying, we still need to upgrade this roster. Like, we bring a quarterback in here, we still don't have the tools that we need to get to a playoff. So I would be shocked, but not really.
Does that
answer the question?
Well,
I don't know. Like, get me to the draft already.
Well, the bottom line of it is this. Look, You're picking third also.
Yeah.
So it may be that you identify two quarterbacks you love and you only like the rest of them, and so you move your way out. So that, do you take a quarterback just because you need one? That's the question mark.
No, that's the worst.
Let me go to the Vikings next. Kmart, would you be shocked if the Vikings trade into the top five?
No, not shocked at all. You know why? Because I know they've been trying to do that. They've been on the phone trying to actively move up. Here's the thing. It's not a done deal. I think in a perfect world, the Vikings would start Thursday with that top five pick already in hand. They would have that spot, but it's not guaranteed yet. And their GM has to decide if they're going to give up the kind of compensation that they need to get into the top five.
EJ, let's talk quarterbacks here. We had Lewis Riddick sitting in that chair telling me whoever the Vikings take is walking into the best situation with Jefferson and Addison and Hawkinson and all of that. They signed Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
And the offensive play caller.
It's not even just the intel with the players. It's also the coaching staff. So the head coach, Kevin O'Connell, he was a third-round draft pick to New England Patriots. Played the position. Offensive coordinator Wes Phillips, Wade Phillips' son, been around football forever, was also with O'Connell at Washington and L.A. where they won a Super Bowl. And then at the quarterback coach position, Josh McCown. Played 20 years in the NFL. This guy's really been a mentor to a lot of other quarterbacks who are still currently playing. From my own experience, I wish I had a Josh McCown that could also be in that quarterback room with me to go over third down, go over protection, go over red zone, all those different types of things, because it hits a little different when it's your teammate who's an OG, an older guy, versus just your quarterback coach or an offensive coordinator.
So we'll see who it is that winds up in Minnesota if indeed they're able to get that done. Then finally, back to you, Kmart. Would you be shocked if J.J. McCarthy winds up drafted in the top five?
Greeny, I would not be shocked. You know why? Because forget talent for a second. Your value is based on your market. And right now, a lot of teams need a quarterback. But if you look at J.J. McCarthy, and you might think, okay, is he the best quarterback in this draft? Maybe not, but he has the athleticism, the arm velocity. He's a winner. He can throw that ball into tight windows if need be. And so the only thing we haven't seen is, can he be the guy for 17 games? But he's 100% a guy that you could see going high in this draft.
Well, he is not a polarizing person, but he's a very polarizing prospect. Yes. Let me give you a sense of that. The former Giant Logan Ryan was on NFL Live yesterday, and he had a very strong thought about the Giants drafting J.J. McCarthy.
New Yorkers, if you're listening, do not trade up to number four and get J.J. McCarthy. Don't do it. I just don't think that the fourth best quarterback in this draft, whoever you have as that is, I don't think they're better than what Daniel Jones was coming out of college. The problem with Daniel Jones has been his ability to stay healthy. Mm. Okay, so if you don't like that, take one of the best pass catchers available. Give that future quarterback a top receiver.
EJ, you were nodding along as he was talking. Why?
I agree. Well, one, because why give him a Daniel Jones so fast? I mean, if you give him some more pieces, you give him wide receiver. And ultimately, if he can stay healthy, Daniel Jones, look, there's a reason why they paid him $100 million plus dollars. He played good enough, obviously, to continue to be the quarterback there. So I think Logan makes a great point. And again, Logan was on that team, so he knows it better than anyone else.
D-Wood, here's the scenario. The sixth pick in the draft comes up. The Giants have the option of taking J.J. McCarthy or Malik Nabers, the receiver from LSU. Why are you getting up? What are you doing?
Right. Hand that card right in. Hand that card right in.
Malik Nabers.
Malik Nabers.
Absolutely. Easy. That's an easy one.
You're running the card up.
Yeah, running the card up.
Why is that?
Because when we talk about the New York football Giants, we've been talking about it for years now, who scares them? They have no guys that their defensive coordinators got a game plan against. That's the thing that they need. Yes, you can come back in the second round and get your quarterback. Oh. They need playmakers. The Giants don't have playmakers. And Saquon Barkley is now with a Philadelphia Eagle. They need guys that can scare you. Give me Malik Nabers.
Kmart?
Yeah, I would take Malik Nabers. However, the flip side of it is, EJ, he's so nice. He's saying Daniel Jones played good enough. No, he didn't. And honestly, the injury thing is a big deal. You don't know if you're going to have Daniel Jones for 17 games. Yes, they have Drew Lock there, so they have another option as well at quarterback. But the Giants, they can get out of Daniel's contract. If they could get out of Daniel Jones's contract today, they would do it. So Daniel Jones is not the foreseeable future in New York.
The player I have been saying all along, I love for the Giants, if they could figure out how to make it happen, is Drake May. Drake May, his ceiling, his apex is Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Well, the man who helped make Josh Allen Josh Allen was Brian Daboll as the offensive coordinator in Buffalo. You know it as well as anybody. And he's the head coach with the Giants. If you need Drake May to sit for a year, you've got the quarterback for him to sit behind in Daniel Jones, who you have to pay this year. It is, for me, it feels like a really, really good marriage. Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, because I think this is the danger zone of the draft. When a team that needs a quarterback, now you sit there and you're like, we can make this guy work. Like, I could see it. Do you, if you are the Giants, are you picking Drake May because you love him hands down or because, hey, he's available when it's our time to pick?
He's not available, you're not going to be able to take him at six. You're going to have to go get him.
But do you
They love him. I mean, there are people who love him.
Go Malik Nabers.
Show me tape. Okay, yeah, well, show me the tape. Yeah. We got a Drake May tape. Right. Show me Drake May. Tim Hasselbeck will sit here and he will fight you to the death, saying that guy's the best prospect of all the quarterbacks in this draft. Show us Drake May.
Yeah, well, Drake May has these intangibles where you can't coach it. And a lot of it is arm angles. You see that from Patrick Mahomes. You see that from other quarterbacks in the NFL. But the biggest thing is the size that I love. 6'4", 235 pounds. And right here, we call this a Q9, where you're going to roll to your left, a full sprint out. And watch, again, the arm angle. He's throwing his ball off his right foot, contorting again to his left. The tight end's not even out of his break. He's throwing him open and just going to bring him down the stem. This is such an accurate football. He puts it low and away. And when you're throwing down into the red zone, if it's the beginning portion of the red zone, you got to put it low so that receiver can go down and make the catch. Right here, Nate Wiggins, one of the top corners also in this year's draft. Man-to-man against Tez Walker. Drake cheats his drop, gets this ball out fast enough because there's a safety in it too high to come off the edge and then try to blow up his receiver. Perfectly thrown football right here. Coverage recognition and also athleticism. All right, all-out blitz. There's no safety in the middle of the field. I'm not going to overthink this thing. Be decisive and take off and run. 6'4", 235, at least 4'6", 4'5 speed. Look like a young EJ back in the day. Taking off and ripping off a huge gashing run there for his offense. And this is the stuff that's not on the stat sheet, all right? You talk about guts, the will. Fourth and four situation, last game at his home stadium. You got a free runner by Duke's defense. Strong enough to still stand in the pocket. This is where the Josh Allen stuff can come up.
Yes.
Being able to stand up and get this ball off, but not just get it off, accurately throw this football to where J.J. Jones can catch it and continue to run and get a first down. So those are some of the intangibles that Drake May will bring a team, but I still don't think the Giants is the spot for him.
Well, fair enough, but if I do, that's my point, is it's not, they're not just taking a quarterback because they desperately need, or because they're desperate for one. They're taking one because maybe Brian Daboll could turn him into Josh Allen. I mean, that's what you'd be going. You don't see it?
But you know, I don't see it.
Why not?
Well, I still think you got a young quarterback in Daniel Jones. If he's healthy, you can't tell me that he can't win for this team. If he's healthy.
Well, hold on. Let me put this. Let me put this very, very, very easy.
Very plain for the conversation.
Daniel Jones.
Oh, child.
Okay, that's fine.
That's over. Done. That's done. Like, I get where – I understand where Greeny's coming from right here, because we always talk about these prospects, these quarterbacks, it's more about where they go.
Right.
And who can develop them than anything. Brian Daboll, sit behind him,
Daniel Jones
for a year.
Daniel Jones is not their guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but they are financially tied to him for another year.
I'm saying they have a chance to get the guy that they want.
Right.
No, I hear you, but to say, oh, this guy could be Josh Allen, like, I think that – is a bit extreme.
Well, look, I mean, you got to go for it. I mean, there are people who think Drake May has superstar potential in the right circumstance. That. Yeah. Maybe that's the right circumstance. And if Daniel Jones has a great year, that's a wonderful problem to have. All right, coming up, two huge stars, two huge questions. Is Giannis healthy enough to play? Can LeBron turn back the clock and beat the Nuggets? We'll answer both of those. But first, let's see if these guys can answer this. Legs and Han. The Sixers and Knicks last played in the playoffs in 1989. What? Who was the leading scorer in that series?
Hembo is officially
Answers
a terrible
next.
Person.
that was dirty. That's a good.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Bottom of the hour, back on Get Up. I have pretty significant breaking news from Woj in a moment, so let's do this quickly, guys. Sixers and Knicks getting set to play in the first round. They last met in the playoffs in 1989. Who was the leading scorer in that series?
Guess. You go. You had the great guess, and I think you're right.
This was my team. I'm going to go. It was Bomb Squad, Rick Pitino's team, Johnny Newman.
Johnny Newman is not correct. It is not one of the Knicks. Right. The Knicks swept the series, but the answer is Charles Barkley.
Was Barkley?
Barkley scored 81 points.
All I know
points.
Is that they took the brooms out. That's all I know.
Whoa. May I just ask our audio to please take all the other people out of my ear? Please, Kimberly Martin and others are very much in my ear. Thank you. You're correct. Right. 81 points, Charles Barkley.
He's vile. He took a guy off the losing team. That's just messed up. question.
Well, he was the leading scorer. What are you going to do? Okay, we have significant news here. This is from Woj. Just moments ago, and it's not a surprise, but it's terrible. Miami Heat star Jimmy Butler is expected to be sidelined for several weeks with a right knee MCL injury suffered in last night's loss to the Sixers. This is the reporting from Woj coming in just moments ago. We all saw it. We've talked about it all morning long. Any hope they have? Look, they play Chicago tomorrow night. The Bulls have been playing really well. Legs, maybe they find a way to win that game without Jimmy Butler and go on and play the Celtics. But without him against the Celtics, who've been the best team in the league all year, difficult to picture them winning even a game.
Well, I'd say even losing, even beating Chicago is unlikely because you don't have him and just how deflated they must be right now. Mm. Give them all the credit in the world now that we know this for coming back in that game. Mm. And we should have known it by his reaction and his scream that he let out when it happened. And Eric Spoelstra said we're going to be sensible here. We're going to go by what Jimmy says. He obviously convinced them he felt good enough to play. But now knowing this, man, how much respect do you have for Jimmy Butler for trying to gut his way through that game?
Absolutely, yeah. Just to stay in that game and see if he can give his team a chance and then buy some time to come back. But think about now, that's Jimmy Butler out. Embiid is already compromised. Julius Randle not available for the Knicks. Zion Williamson
Giannis.
Out.
Giannis on
Jimmy Giannis Bo. Also, we don't know his status. Think about where we are in the playoffs right now with so many of these stars that are injured or not playing, and then the opportunity for someone who is healthy to make a run.
Well, look, and let's see who stays healthy because the playoffs haven't even started yet, and there is so much injury involved in it. Okay, let's run the floor and go through some of these other scenarios. And, Alan, we'll start with that. Giannis will miss the start of their series against Indiana. If they lose, should they consider breaking this up, trading Dame Lillard this offseason?
Absolutely not. You're stuck with this. You made this move, and then you made a coaching change early in the season. This is now up to Dame Lillard to find happy in Milwaukee. Now, we understand that move for him was a difficult one because he struggled with leaving Portland. But this is your home now, and you've got to dig in. And you know what, Giannis Antetokounmpo? You need to step it up as well and be a better teammate and also be a better Milwaukee Buck for that franchise.
If Wendy saying the other day, if they get knocked out, watch Giannis. Leg, Zion out against Sacramento. Who do you like in that game?
I like Sacramento now. But listen, the Pelicans do have two other guys that are capable of having big nights. And if you're Brandon Ingram and you want to atone for being pouty on the bench the other night when you got taken out of that game, which I thought was a bad look, give me 30 in this game and give them another chance to move on. But I think the Kings ultimately win the game.
That knee going to allow him to give you 30, though.
Monica, stay in the West. What do the Lakers have to do to beat the Nuggets?
It's got
to
be a masterpiece on the defensive end. You make Nikola Jokic a scorer and you eliminate his opportunities to facilitate, which means you got to stay attached to the other four guys. You have to be completely locked in. You're going to have to out-rebound, no foul trouble, and you've got to play physical top to bottom, extending all the way out to the guys coming off the bench.
Well, those sound like a lot of ifs. But for what it's worth, our buddy Stephen A. yesterday on First Take says he likes the Lakers' chances.
You waving bye-bye to them. a lot of people are waving bye-bye to them because they're getting ready to go up against the reigning defending NBA champions. That shouldn't be the case. They've waxed your ass 8 straight. What you gonna do about it? Last time I checked, LeBron, AD, D-Russ, Reeves, Hachimura, and these boys are fully capable of doing it.
Fully capable of doing it, says Stephen A. Well, that is music to the ears of the biggest Laker fan we have here. D-Wood, I'm giving you the floor. I'm giving you my whole basketball squad today. Break it down for me. How do the Lakers get this thing done?
Listen, a lot of what Monica said is absolutely true. I think, you know, Jokic is going to get his.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about the auxiliary piece around them. Like, we got to minimize the damage by those guys. You're not stopping Jokic. I don't care if you throw AD. It doesn't matter who you throw at him. He's going to get his. But I need auxiliary pieces, you know, the Rui. I need those guys to go off. Austin Reed, those guys got to step it up. Because remember last year in the playoffs when they got swept, that was only a 24-point margin for all four games. So it's not like the Lakers are getting blown out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you got to find some way, somehow to make up in just the little things defensively. Whether it's scoring, it's got to be the little things that got to take you over the top.
Here's my thing.
I'm not one of these super homers out here. I'm still picking the Nuggets, but I'm saying let's not disrespect the Lakers like we don't have a shot here.
But don't talk to me about all the others. No, this is about Anthony Davis. Let's stop telling LeBron that he has to carry this team, and then we talk about how LeBron looks tired. That's got to stop. Anthony Davis this year played the most games, 76 games. He finally played a lot of games, and he played really well. Well, guess what? This is your monster, Nikola Jokic. You were once one of the best centers in the game. This is your matchup. This is your series. You want to reestablish yourself as one of the best centers in the game? Right now, right here, do it for your team. And don't make this about LeBron, and he couldn't. Do what you can, and that's dominate this series.
Listen, there's no reason why Anthony Davis can't go at Jokic and give him 25, 26, 28 a night. That's what it's going to take to put them in position late in the game where now you've been a great closing team all year. You've got a shot. Anthony Davis can't have one of these series.
Yep.
He's got to be – he's not going to stop you, but you can give him 28, 30
thank
on the
you.
Other
end. Right. Listen, I'm not disputing any of that. Yeah. While you're talking about 25, 28, Jokic's giving you 40-point triple-doubles. My whole thing is, like – it doesn't matter who you're throwing at Jokic.
Correct.
Like, Jokic is still going to get his. I need to minimize, you know, Jamal Murray's and all everybody else.
I love the enthusiasm. Let me ask you a question. Does Hembo, who is a vile human being, but he does know something.
We'll tell you,
and we do this on the radio, that these Nuggets are not as good as they were a year ago. That the Nuggets, you look at all of their advanced metrics, all that kind of stuff. Eye test, had a chance to wrap up the one seed on Sunday, couldn't get it done. Still maybe the best team in the West, but not as good as they were a year ago. To D-Wood's point, I was at all four of those games. They were all close. Are these Nuggets as good as they were a year ago?
No, because the West is better than it was a year ago.
Okay,
right? And
point.
So I think when you have that conversation, you can't just decide to isolate that the Nuggets have not made improve or are not better. Are the Lakers better than they were a year ago? Because I would argue no. I don't think so.
Okay, well, then that doesn't get them any closer
correct.
To beating the Nuggets.
Correct. And so I think Woody is absolutely right. I understand the passion, but like, this was the closest sweep we've ever talked about. They lost.
Right? Can I follow up what you just said about the Nuggets not being as good?
Yeah.
No team traditionally, go back in history, when a team finally wins that first title, very few teams are in the regular season the next year because your foot's not on the gas to the extent that it was trying to get across the finish line.
Right.
Watch what's about to happen in the postseason.
Then compare
to what the Nuggets did in the postseason a year ago, because I think you're about to see precision. Just like you did a year ago.
And we saw the first shift after All-Star. Like,
yes,
we
right.
saw the first rev up. All right,
great
now
point.
It's playoff times. It goes up again. And so yeah. I think that this will be a compelling series.
Yeah.
I'm not picking against the Nuggets.
I'll give them a game and a half. I'll give them a game and a half.
What you got? What are you talking?
That meaning they'll have a lead at halftime of one of the other games?
Game five, they'll be up at halftime.
If I gave you the over-under, I believe the way the odds, Hembo was showing it to me the other day, and I don't fully understand how they calculate this, but basically the over-under on this series is 5.5.
I give Anthony Davis, I'm going to give him the respect that sometimes we don't give him enough of. He played this year. He showed up every night. He wasn't out for weeks with minor injuries.
Mm-hmm.
He played every night. He's been dominant. He's a force of both. Because of that, I'm going to say they win two games.
Yeah. I'm going to say this, man. Like, first of all, the level of disrespect. I'm just getting
you
fed up
even
with number one.
Your squad.
Number two, this is not the Eastern Conference where it's the Celtics and everybody else. Like, I've literally heard all of you guys talk about the West from like 1 to 9.
D-Wood.
It's like it's anybody's game, basically.
Do you remember the last time the Lakers beat the Nuggets? Aaron Rodgers wasn't a Jet. Like, think about how long ago that is.
Hold on, Woody. Hold on. You're right about this, but I'm going to say this. All year, and everybody knows I'm high on Dallas right now, okay? I think that's the one team that can maybe challenge him. All year, though, every sentence I said about the West, when I talk about great, it always starts with, as long as you can avoid Denver. Mm-hmm. And then you make your statement. Mm-hmm.
And yet, when I suggested the Lakers do that, they said I belonged in an insane asylum. I mean, sometimes things are just not as complicated as that. I believe the Lakers, D-Wood, to your point, it's not disrespect. I voted Anthony Davis second team All-NBA. He had a magnificent year. I would like them in a series against any other team in the West. They're just running into the wrong team, and there's no right time to play
them. And to be fair, the combination of roster makeup and experience, the Lakers have the best of the two of those in terms of getting this done.
Well, we will see the Heat and the Bulls tomorrow night. The NBA play-in tournament rolls on. We got the 8th place game. Again, it's going to be the Bulls and the Heat. We just told you, no Jimmy Butler. So we'll see if Chicago can take that one and then head on to take on Boston. That will be the first round matchup for the winner of this game coming up on Sunday. We're a week from the draft. We still have a ton of uncertainty at the top. EJ has the first round forecast with the X's and O's on who Legler, your Commanders, are looking at number two.
I'm all ears.
There's a surprise coming here. Don't miss it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, we are back on Get Up. We just got this in from baseball. You're going to hear Pete Fairbanks from the Rays. He blew a 4-3 save last night against the Angels, giving up 2 runs and 3 hits, and then was asked to evaluate his performance. Listen.
Oh, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that, but for right now I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Pete, where do you kind of go from here? Is it looking at tape? Is it going through mechanics? Where do you kind of go from here?
You tell me. I've tried that. If you got an answer, I'd love to hear. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
So, I mean, look, for the athletes, honestly, I enjoyed looking at the faces of the athletes listening to that. I mean, you've been there, right? I mean, everyone who has tried to play a sport, and a guy like him who and you guys who made it to the very, very, very highest level of it, you have moments like that, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, there were many a times where things, you know, you got beat. I always say, like, people think you remember the winning stuff. For me, no. It's the plays that you missed on, the plays that you didn't make, the games that you lost, or the things that sit with you the most. So I definitely understand where he's coming
from. Yeah, I completely understand where you're coming from. And what he said that I thought was great was, hey, you soak on it for 15, 30 minutes, and then you move on. That's the biggest thing. Pitchers, quarterbacks, whatever position it is, you got to turn the page because you got another game.
TV hosts.
Can't lose the cup. No.
Yeah. Gotta keep playing.
That's an emotion I'm personally not familiar with, but I do understand the point that you're making. All right, we're a week away from the NFL draft, people. Let's get some first-round forecasts from EJ. EJ, who is the best wide receiver in this year's class?
Undoubtedly, Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. look, 2 years where he's gone for 1,200 yards receiving, 14 touchdowns in both of those years. And look, the funny thing is, if you can do it back-to-back, the second year, they know that you're good. So you assume double coverage, you assume safety cloud. It didn't matter. And again, also the pedigree of being a son of a Hall of Famer like Marvin Harrison. He was learning things at 5 years old that guys that are just now going into the league are going to learn. So I'm expecting him to have a big career.
Maserati mob. There are a lot of people, Kmart, who prefer Malik Nabers. What are you hearing about who will be the first one off the board?
So it's almost like the quarterbacks. Like Caleb is like, you know, you pull everybody, Caleb is the choice. Marvin Harrison's the same thing, but a lot of people like Malik Nabers. I like Rome. Like a lot of people feel like in this draft class, you're going to get a top flight guy. But I know teams that need other positions, offensive linemen, defensive players. And they're like, no, if I could get Marvin Harrison, sign me up.
Those first three that you see on your screen there, including Rome Odunze, we overwhelmingly expect will go in the top 10. That said, EJ, how many quarterbacks do you expect to go in round one next week?
5 quarterbacks go in the first round. I think Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May are out in the first 3 picks. And I also think J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. will also be there. What team it is, I think Penix matches with the Raiders pretty well. And then I think the Denver Broncos with Sean Payton, he's going to want to have a quarterback. Maybe he takes J.J. McCarthy. Maybe one of those two teams also moves up in the draft. But either way, 5 QBs go in the first round.
To get McCarthy, the expectation would be they would have to move up here. Who's a team that we're not talking about, D-Wood, that needs a quarterback? Might be in this mix that no one's expecting.
What about the Raiders?
Yeah.
Raiders, man. Like, the Raiders need a quarterback in the – like, come on, like, Aiden O'Connell. Like, listen, that's just not going to cut it. And I always start with when you're building building up your team, you always start within the division, right? Well, who's sitting in the division? Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert.
Right.
You need a quarterback. Watch the Raiders.
And finally, if you needed a quarterback, EJ, and you had the number one pick in this draft, which of these two guys would you take?
I would take Jaden Daniels out of LSU. And really, again, you're going to look at the relationship of where he's cutting his ball loose. And look at his receiver. His receiver's still in phase, running this comeback to 15 yards, throws him a great ball down the stem, back to 12. Great ball placement. But also, again, the timing. That's what's going to lead to success as a young quarterback in the NFL. Right here, coverage recognition. So you bring your tight end in motion. You see a linebacker with him. That's telling me it's man-to-man. So I'm going to move my running back to my right. I'm going to call a Q8 rub right here. Again, I got a man coverage, so I want that outside receiver rub on that inside DB. He has no chance. Accurate football on the run. Easy touchdown for LSU. Right here, the ball placement. I love this ability to throw a sluggo. You give a nice little pump fake and put it right there on a shelf where only Brian Thomas Jr. can go up and make a catch. That's the kind of stuff that you have to do at a high clip as a rookie quarterback if you want to have success. But not even that. If you want to get on the field, if you can't hit your target and be accurate or make good decisions and get your team in the right positions, you can't play.
Look, you look at a guy, his combined rushing and passing this year, I just did my notes on him the other day, combined rushing and passing over 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns last year. And it's important to point out for folks who have not seen a lot of him, you just see these clips of these spectacular runs. He's a spectacular runner. He was actually better in the pocket, a better in the pocket passer than Caleb Williams or Drake May or any of the other guys in this class. You have told me repeatedly he would be your number one pick too.
Yeah, absolutely, because I think he does the things that the mundane things, he does them more consistently than any other quarterback in the National Football League. When we talk about all these guys are athletic, all these guys have big arms, but I want to see a guy come in and can consistently do the things that are transferable to the National Football League. To me, Jaden Daniels is that guy. I love his fundamentals and the system that he came out of at LSU, and I think going into the league, that's my guy.
I hear it, and yet, respectfully, neither of your opinions matter.
Right.
The only one that does is Ryan Poles. And you just read the tea leaves. Don't listen to what people say, but read the tea leaves. The Commanders had all these quarterbacks in their building yesterday. They didn't have Caleb Williams there because they know they're not going to have the opportunity to draft him. He's going one, no matter what we think. But Kmart, that means the intrigue. They brought 4 guys in there yesterday.
Why do you think I'm going to Washington?
Well, you tell me.
The intrigue. So we've heard, the sense that we've gotten is that Jaden Daniels is going to be the guy, but there is no consensus in that building. I am told that the Commanders have not made their decision yet. That decision may not come until next week, y'all, which is why I'm going to Ashburn to get answers. But interestingly enough, Jaden, he will meet with the Vikings today. So all these teams that need quarterbacks, we're assuming it's going to be Jaden, but you just don't know, because another name I've heard connected to the Commanders is Drake May. They are bringing in all those guys. I know it's unconventional. I know we're not used to seeing it. But if you are a team that needs to be sure who you're going to take and who's going to be happy here leading this franchise, you want to get as much time with all of them as you can.
Yeah, no question. And again, going back to the personality piece in Green, I know you're not buying that, but that does matter to head coaches. It matters to ownership. And if you have a fresh start with Dan Quinn being a head coach again, mm-hmm. you don't want to mess this up. You want to get this one right.
Yeah. It's not that I'm not buying it. The personality is obviously critical.
He's not.
No, he's not.
No, but 8 days before the draft to bring four guys in together as they did yesterday, if that's the way you've decided you're going to find out about their personalities, that strikes me as a very bad way to find that out.
It's not just like yesterday was the day that we've got all our answers. They've had guys into the build. They've interviewed guys at the combine. But
that's what I mean. So if at this point in the all I'm saying, while everyone yells at me, is if Jaden Daniels was just going to be the pick at number two, you would not have to be doing any of this.
I'm telling you.
Right.
That they have not made up their mind.
Right, so we're agreeing.
So why not dot all your I's and cross your T's?
Let's just turn over every rock. Yeah.
But here's the point I'm trying to make, is that the interesting part of this is if you decide, for whatever reason, I'm not the one making the decision, that J.J. McCarthy, for example, or even Michael Penix are the guy you actually want, then you're trading out of two.
Yeah.
You're not taking either of those guys at number two in this draft.
Yeah.
Because there are people who come up there to get mm-hmm. those guys, and you can still get the guy that you want a little bit down lower. So that's the part of this I'm most intrigued by.
Well, and listen, that's what building consensus is all about, right? Like, this is the time you got to do it. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when you're picking this high,
yes.
don't make a mistake.
You don't ever want to pick
this
high.
Don't make a mistake. Right. You got to try to build consensus in that building that maybe that's part of what they're trying to do.
So you said you would take Jaden Daniels number one, but we all understand that. So that by definition means you would take him ahead of Drake May.
Correct.
If you were to put them in order right now, if you were doing a board, take Caleb and Jaden out of it.
Yep.
Who's next? Is it Drake May?
Drake May is next for me, and then J.J. McCarthy, and then Michael Penix Jr. is the third out of those three.
Michael Penix Jr. is a fascinating wild card.
Can we talk about this, y'all? I'm sorry. Like, Michael Penix checks all the boxes that we have ever had
outside
for quarterbacks.
Outside of the injuries,
where it's like, oh, you went from the pocket. Is he good from the pocket? Yes. Does he have the prettiest? Yes. So it's the injuries. I understand it, but we should have been talking about Michael Penix Jr.
Super smart.
Super smart.
He's got a significant injury history that scares the heck out of teams.
That's the only thing.
Is the only reason he's not right there in the mix with the other guys. Coming up, should the Knicks be scared? Should they be worried about the Sixers in round one? Stephen A., Molly, Monica, and Legs all talking that and more. First Take, top of the hour, here on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, before we go, just another look at this. Who did it better? We've got the backdrop for Bill Belichick when he went on McAfee yesterday with all those Lombardis. And we got D. Wood, who lives in an art museum.
Yes.
I mean, right? He lives, like, in the Louvre.
Right.
Next, got the Mona Lisa.
Both guys are stunting, though. I will say six Super Bowl trophies and then Pro Bowl jerseys.
Patriots, yeah, because they're the same. But imagine Belichick has to have all that extra headroom. You know why? So you can see that.
Show all the trophies.
Him. Yes.
What do you think, D-Wood?
Defend yourself.
So basically, I need a new backdrop with trophies and everything.
You need to stop it.
Where are your rings?
Yeah, okay.
You got two Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll change my backdrop. So I'll just change my backdrop. I'll change my backdrop then.
Yes.
Okay.
He lives in the Guggenheim. All right. Great fun today. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.